Well, good morning. As they take up the offering, I'm going to jump right into things this morning. You know, I read a true story about a man who was trying to get a job as a policeman in London. He went in to take the entrance exam, and he got to a question that said, "You are on a patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the street. There's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your police chief, who is out of town. A passing driver stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what actions you would take." The man taking the test thought for a moment, picked up his pen, and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." What a great answer. You ever had one of those days when it seems like one thing after another is going wrong? You ever had a time when you just felt a little bit overwhelmed by life? A time when you maybe felt like you needed a miracle just to make it through? We talked last week about an amazing miracle when God caused time to stop and the sun to stand still to help his people. If you were here last week, you know that Joshua, who was the leader of Israel at the time, had made an alliance with a neighboring people called the Gibeonites without asking God about it. And it was a mistake, it was a bad deal, he shouldn't have done it, and he quickly came to realize his mistake. But then the consequences came, and because of this alliance, he has to defend the Gibeonites against their enemies, and he has to fight a battle that he never should have fought. So they're in this battle. The day's almost over. It's going to get dark soon. And Joshua hadn't defeated the enemy completely, so he prays this bold prayer that we talked about last week, that the sun would stand still until he had a chance to win this victory. And we're going to go a little bit more into the story this week. So let's start by reading, starting in Joshua 10:7. It says, "So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them.'" And notice, "do not be afraid." God wouldn't have said that unless there was a temptation to be afraid. Even Joshua with his entire army and all the best fighting men were tempted to be afraid. The fact is that fear does not disqualify you from the miracle-working power of God. And in fact, if you let that fear drive you closer to God and depend on God, then it sets you up to receive all that God can give. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than they were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ahijah." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now again, we looked at that scripture last week, but what I want to do this week is to build on that, because last week we talked about the context of this miracle. How, despite Joshua's bad alliance, despite his guilt that he made a mistake, how despite all that, God answered this prayer and gave him more time to do what he needed to do and win the victory. Many of you need more time in your life right now. You need time to fix a broken relationship, to repair some other things that have been broken in your life, to bring victory to your life. God did a miracle in Joshua's situation, and we saw the sun stand still. But this week, we're going to focus not on the situation that Joshua was in, but the prayer that he prayed that was so powerful. Because in case you haven't noticed, most of us don't have powerful prayer lives. You know, to be honest, most of us feel kind of pitiful when it comes to prayer in our lives. Our prayers are kind of puny and anemic, not big and powerful. Now, I was thinking about this on Thursday, and I was thinking, you know, I really need to pray prayers that are more big and powerful and bold. And so I started praying, God, would you please let both the Patriots and the Seahawks lose the Super Bowl? Because I don't like either of them. I don't want either of them to win. You know, so God, you know, would you do that? Now, I don't know how God could possibly make them both lose, but if he can make the sun stand still, then he could probably find a way to embarrass both Tom Brady and Marshawn Lynch, right? So if that happens, you'll know it was me, okay? Just telling you. We're going to see a few things in this story that can help us pray. Now, this is not the only way to pray, but you might think of this as a new way to pray because, honestly, I don't see very many prayers like this. You know, I don't hear prayers that are this bold and big and you know, huge. And so, let's look at what do we see in this prayer? Number one, this is an audacious prayer. If you want to pray like Joshua did, the prayers that you pray need to be big enough to blame God for. Now, I know that's a strange way to phrase it, but what I'm trying to say is that most of the prayers that we pray aren't even big enough to evoke any action from God. We pray cute little prayers, safe little prayers, sanitized little prayers, shrimpy little prayers. We pray things like, and I know you've prayed this because I certainly have, God, if it's your will, then would you do this or that or the other? It's like we think that God needs an escape clause from the prayer contract, you know, because deep down we don't really believe he's going to answer anyway, and so we need to give him a way out. What is like God, you know, thinking, whoa, thank you so much for letting me off the hook on that one because I really didn't want to do it, but, you know, I felt obligated, you know, and until you said, if it's your will, and now I have a way out, so thank you. Now, let me give you a little hint. If it is not God's will, then it's not going to happen no matter what you pray, okay? You know, there is only one time in the whole Bible where Jesus prayed that, if it's your will, God. And that's when he was about to get crucified. But he didn't say that when he was praying for somebody to be healed. He just said, be healed. He didn't say that when he was calming the storm. Just be quiet. You know, he never prayed that, you know, except the one time. We feel like we have to add it every time, you know, to give God a way out. And it really leads to faithless prayer. Joshua did not say, sun, stand still, if it's your will, God. But if it's not your will, then don't worry about it. You don't have to do anything. No, if it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't have happened anyway, so he doesn't have to say it, you know, but instead he decides to be daring and bold and ask for something big, and, you know, if it doesn't happen, it might make him look really foolish, but it's also something that if it does happen, it's going to give glory to God. In fact, it is so bold and glorifies God so much that it gets written down, and 3,000 years later, here we are on the other side of the world still talking about this prayer that Joshua prayed and giving God glory for answering it. It's audacious and it's bold and it's the way we need to pray. Let's watch a short video.
Remember? You were young. You could change the world. You could have done anything. You didn't. You got stuck. You paid bills. You went to work. You came home. Then you did it again and again. You never meant to. You never wanted to walk away from your dream, the calling God placed on your life. But you look at yourself and you wonder how you got where you are. You have a choice. You still do. You could live outside of yourself for something bigger than yourself. Will you let time talk you out of your dreams?
Have you stopped dreaming big? Have you stopped thinking big about what God could do in your life? When's the last time you prayed an audacious prayer? Something that would be talked about all over the world if it was answered, or at least all over your neighborhood if God did it. In fact, when's the last time that God did something in your life that was undoubtedly, without argument, unmistakably, Him? It just would not and could not have been anybody else. It couldn't have happened unless God did it. When's the last time God showed up in your life in such a huge, marvelous way that it left no doubt that He was the one involved? When's the last time you prayed something bold? God, make the sun stand still in my life, an audacious prayer. I have a serious weakness for my wife's apple pie. Kathy makes the best apple pie in the world. It's my favorite dessert. Now, let's say she made an apple pie, and after the first day, there was still about 3 slices left, and so Kathy put it in the refrigerator, thinking the next day that there would be at least 1 slice left for her. And, you know, say that, just hypothetically, I won't say whether this actually happened a couple months ago or not, but, you know, say that, just for sake of talking about this, I went in the refrigerator the next day, and I polished off that apple pie. Okay? And then just say that after dinner the next day, Kathy looks in the refrigerator and says, "Where's the apple pie?" And say I reply, "Well, I'm not sure. Maybe our son Brian ate it. He must have eaten it." Now, if that happened, Kathy would immediately respond by pointing out the fact that our son Brian doesn't like apple pie, and he wouldn't eat it even if you tried to force him to. And so then Kathy, being the very logical wife that she is, would quickly discern that, you know, "Ken, I know Brian didn't eat it. Nobody else lives here. It had to be you." Okay? Couldn't have been anybody else. It had to be you. What's the point of this? I want to pray the kind of prayers that people look at God and say, "God, it had to be you. It couldn't have been anybody else. There's no way anyone else could have done that. It couldn't have been Ken. It had to be you." I don't pray prayers that are so big and bold and audacious that everybody knows it had to be God. And you know what? God loves to respond to prayers like that. Those kind of prayers touch His heart. Sun stand still. Audacious prayers. You know, there's so many places in the Bible that tells us to pray like that. Mark 11:22 is one of the better known ones. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for you." Jesus is saying, you can pray audacious prayers. It's okay. God likes that. And he goes on, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Is it possible that the reason that God is not answering your prayers is that you've kind of insulted Him by how small they are? You're not asking for mountains. In fact, you've asked Him for things that you could probably do yourself if you just worked a little harder. Or you've asked Him for things that are probably happen anyway. You're just kind of using God as, you know, like a backup insurance plan just in case. But you're not asking for anything that if it happens, people will say, "Whoa, that had to be God." Is it possible that because nothing is too hard for God, He's not intimidated by your huge request? He's a little insulted by your small requests? Is it possible? Joshua says, "Son, stand still." And I'll bet that behind the scenes, before he prayed this, he probably had some thoughts where he says, "You know what? I wonder if I'm risking my career here. You know, I'm going to look so foolish praying this in front of all these people." But then he says, "You know what? I am putting it all on the line. I am going to go big or go home because I serve a big God." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." With confidence. No request is too large. Nothing is too hard. Ask with confidence. Ask audaciously. You know, think about the evening after Joshua prayed this prayer, and the battle's now over, the sun is gone down, and they're sitting around the tents of Israel at night, and you think anybody was asking, you know, "I wonder who it was that did that. You know, I wonder who made the sun stand still in the middle of the sky. You know, Fred, did you do that? Did you make the sun stand still?" "It wasn't me, no, don't look at me, it must have been Joe." You think anybody was wondering that? No, they all knew exactly who did it. There was no other option. They knew that God did this, and they were praising and glorifying Him. When's the last time you prayed anything so big there was no other option? If it happens, everybody will recognize this is God. You honor God when you pray audacious prayers. Second, pray specific prayers. And that means that what you're praying for should be clear and specific enough that everybody knows whether it's happened or not. What I love about Joshua's prayer is he didn't just throw out this vague general prayer, you know, like, "God, if it's your will, you know, would you help us out somehow? You know, the hailstones were a nice touch, but we need a little bit more. And so, God, would you please help us somehow?" No. He was specific. He's going, "God, hey, we need a little more time to win this victory. It's going to get dark soon, and we can't do it if it gets dark. So, God, would you make the sun stand still in the middle of the sky until we win the victory?" And God says, "Yes, I'll do it specifically because it's going to bring me glory." And nobody had any doubt about who was behind it. Do you pray specific prayers? You know, I'll tell you what we usually pray like, "God, please bless my family." How are you going to know if He answers that or not? What does that look like? Or we pray, "God, please be with me." Now, I've prayed this many times, so I'm guilty too. But, you know, God is going, "Please be with me. Ken, don't you realize that I am like everywhere in the universe? All the time? You know, how can I be any more with you than I am all the time? You know, there's nowhere you could possibly go where I'm not already there. So, Ken, would you please pray something that requires me to do something?" But we're praying, "God, just be with me and be with my kids and be with my Aunt Sarah because she's going through a tough time and just be with her." You know, okay, confession time. How many of you have prayed that before? Come on, you know where liars go, to Washington, D.C. I'm joking. Are you praying specifically about your situation? When I was in the Navy, they taught us to set goals, and they said that a good goal had to be specific, measurable, and achievable. And I would argue that a good prayer has to be specific, measurable, and impossible to achieve on our own. That's why we pray audaciously and specifically. Joshua doesn't pray, you know, "God, please be with us and bless us." You know, if he prayed that and then they won, would anybody know why they won? You know, they would think, "Oh, Joshua just had a better army. Maybe he had better trained warriors. He had better planned strategy. He was a great general." They would all been given praise to Joshua for being the great general. But after this audacious, specific prayer, Everybody knew that God was a great God. And they were giving glory to him and not Joshua. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, one of the most annoying things about the first year of your baby's life, it has to be that they can't tell you what they want. Would you agree with that? You know, that is so annoying. You know, I remember when our kids were so small, and I'm trying to figure out what it is, and everything they ask for sounds the same. It all sounds like, you know, some of you are already getting annoyed and wish I would stop. You know, but you have no idea what they want. You know, are they sick? Are they hungry? Are they tired? Are they wet? You know, it all sounds the same. And you know what many of our prayers sound like to God? You know, bless me, be with me. And God is like, would you use some words and tell me what you want? Not that I don't know already, but I want you to voice it. Pray audacious, specific prayers. Number three, pray action prayers. And that means that the thing you're praying for has to be great enough to fight hard for. If you're not willing to fight for it and take action, then why would God be willing to take action? You see, if you don't move, God won't move. Not because he can't. And I didn't say that you earn his love by what you do. But James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. If you're praying prayers but not taking action, action that corresponds to the faith that you speak of, then you don't really have faith at all. Now, this doesn't mean that you earn your way to God by doing more, trying harder. No, we accept his forgiveness and righteousness as a free gift. It can't be earned. But if you need a miracle in your life right now, if you need a prayer answered, whether small or big, God says, I want to see your action. Faith without action is dead. Just look at all the action words in the story of Joshua. In verse 7, it says, so Joshua marched up. It all starts with Joshua marching. You would think it would start with Joshua praying, right? But no, it doesn't say that. Now, I'm sure that he was praying while he was marching, but the point is, he had to do both. You ever heard anybody say, well, all we can do now is pray? And I don't like that on a couple different bases. First, if prayer is your last resort, then you start in the wrong place. But second, prayer is not all that you can do, because God has given you a mind and a body. And as much as he is sovereign, he has also made you responsible. You're responsible to pray and take action. It says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. Joshua didn't just sit back and say, well, God is in control. You know, he'll do whatever he wants, and so I'll sit around and watch Netflix. You know, in verse 8, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Notice God says, I, that's God, have given them into your, that's Joshua's, hand. So that means God will give it, but you have to take it. God does the super, and you do the natural. Let me make it real practical. You don't pray, God, help me to lose weight, while you're sitting at Cold Stone Creamery in front of a huge bowl of Oreo Overload ice cream. You don't pray, God, heal my lungs, while you're sucking on a Marlboro. You don't pray for your marriage to be healed and restored while you're holding on to bitterness, refusing to forgive, and planning how to get her or him back. Okay? Let's go on. The next verse says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night prayer meeting, after an all-night Bible study, after an all-night march. If you're going to pray that the sun would stand still, you better be ready to march all night. If you're going to pray that God will give you an A on the final exam, you better be willing to crack the biology book and read it and study it and prepare. Don't just pray about it. If you're looking for a job, you don't just say, well, all I can do is pray. No, you buy yourself a suit, you print out your resume, you send it a bunch of places, you can go back to school, get some more skills, you make calls, you go spend hours every day looking, and you find a job. That's biblical faith. Now you say, well, that sounds like our own effort. Whoever said that faith doesn't require any effort? It's your effort supercharged by the supernatural power of God, enabled by Him, driven by the Holy Spirit, centered on Jesus Christ, but it still requires your action. It goes on, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. So there was some planning and skill here, because you don't take somebody by surprise unless there's a plan. It's about believing God enough to fight hard for what He's called you to pray for. And when you do what you can do, God will do what only He can do. And when you do the natural, God will add His super to your natural, not because you've earned it, but because He is good. And if you're not excited enough about what you're praying for to take action to make a first step, then why would God be excited enough to add His action and add His supernatural response? My favorite sport is bicycling. I train for a couple long rides every year. What would happen if I got on my bicycle and I put my feet in the pedals and don't start pedaling? I would immediately fall over, right? It's because my bike doesn't have training wheels. And if you want it to work, you have to take action. You have to start pedaling. Prayer is like riding a bike. I pray and I start pedaling and I take action on my part of the prayer. My bike won't take me to a new place until I set it in motion. And God wants to take you to a new place, but it won't happen until you get in motion. You don't get the blessings of God on your marriage by sitting around and praying about it. You get a great marriage by praying and by loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and by respecting your husband, and by humbling yourself instead of always having to get your own way. You pray and you take action. You don't get great teenagers by just sitting around praying for them. You pray and you get home from work on time so you can have dinner with them and ask them how the day went. And then you take them to a movie on the weekend and you make time to talk with them and ask them how their life is. You pray and you take action. Asking and action go hand in hand. One more scripture before we close. Proverbs 21:31 says, "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." You want to win the victory, there's two parts. You get your horse ready. In other words, you get ready for the day of battle. You take action. You do your part. And while you're doing your part, you pray, because victory rests with the Lord. And if you're too lazy to get ready for the battle and to prepare and do your part and to take your action, then you're going to lose no matter how hard you pray. But conversely, even if you are more than ready for the battle and you've done all your part, you still need to pray, because victory rests in the hand of the Lord. Some of you need a miracle in your finances. Here's how to get a miracle in your finances. You pray about it, and you bring your tithe, and you get on a budget, and you cut up your credit cards. That's how to get a miracle in your finances. You keep praying while you take action. If your marriage stinks, you pray about it, and you find a Christian counselor, and then do what they tell you to do, invest some money in it, and pray and take action. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Joshua marched all night long and took his enemy by surprise. He did his part, but while he's in the middle of that battle, he prays, and God heard and answered powerfully. Pray and take action, because ultimately it is the hand of God who determines victory for your situation. But make sure that your horse is ready for the battle. Make sure that you have done your part, you've taken action, because God loves audacious, specific action prayers. Let's stand together. I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. And as they come up, let's bow together. And would you pray with me? God, would you speak to each one of us right now? And also continue speaking during this coming week. And bring to our minds that huge thing that you'd like to do in our lives. The thing that, if it happened, everyone around us would say, whoa, that had to be God. And then, God, would you give us the boldness to pray for that and to have faith for that and believe you for that? We want to see you do things in, you know, we want to see you do things in our lives, in our families, in our church that will bring huge amounts of glory to you. Because people will recognize that it couldn't have happened if it hadn't been you doing it, God. Holy Spirit, would you fill us and give us the drive to take action on those things that we've been praying about, to help us see the next step of faith, the next action that you want us to take, so that we can put our faith into action. We don't want dead faith, Lord. We want faith that'll move mountains for your glory. Maybe this morning, the miracle that God wants to do in your life is to make you a part of his family, give you eternal life. Maybe you're not sure that has happened in your life. You're not sure that you have the eternal life that Jesus offers. You can just pray along with me and settle that question once and for all right now. Say, God, I admit it. I have sinned. I've done many things wrong. And I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven. Thank you for the righteousness that you offer me as a free gift. I now make you my Lord. I want you to be the boss in my life. I want to follow you as best I know how. And I know I can't do it on my own, so would you fill me with your Holy Spirit to give me the power to follow you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.